As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Good morning and welcome to the NBA Daily Ding. Happy Friday morning. Another fun, exciting game in NBA playoff basketball for you. We're going to talk about the Bucks beating the Nets to send us to a game seven. I'm Jared Weiss. I'm joined by Keith Parrish. Keith, we just saw the Bucks win 104-89, in which Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday, I think, outscored the entire Nets before crunch time.
I mean, they scored all their team's points. So yeah, you're right. It was a very strange game. And I don't know about you, but I'm honestly relieved the Bucks won. I don't particularly care for the Bucks. I don't cheer for the Bucks. I feel, as an unbiased observer, I feel a sense of relief that their season didn't crash and burn after game five and losing at home at six. I feel like the offseason would have been so unpleasant just for the general NBA fan to having to hear, you know, what's going on with the Bucks. This, there's a level of respect here. Their big three stood up, said, no, we're not going to go out this way. And they were all amazing. And I gotta say, I'm happy they won. I wasn't here for the fire Budenholzer and let's burn it all down result that would have ensued had they lost this game.
I don't think anybody can really root against the Bucks. I mean, they're just like, their three biggest stars are super genial, fun, nice guys, hardworking players. Chris Middleton has kind of been plagued by inconsistency throughout his career, but he had, in this game, in 42 minutes, he had 38 points, 11 for 16 from the field, 11 for 12 from the line, 10 boards, 5 dimes, and 5 steals.
Yeah, the arbitrary stat cutoff gods at Basketball Reference pointing out that's the first time a player has ever had, you know, 30, 10, 5 with 5 steals and 5 made three-pointers in postseason history. So Chris Middleton was absolutely enormous in this game. And it did feel like anytime the Nets made a run in this game and things were starting to feel a little bit tense and the home crowd was saying, oh no, why does this always happen to us? That it was Chris Middleton stepping up. When the offense bogged down, he did some creation in the half court and just a monstrous game. And going back to what you said earlier about Giannis, Drew Holiday, and Middleton scoring all the points, they literally scored all the points except for 2 for their team up until garbage time. They got no bench production from the Bucks whatsoever. I guess you also give credit to Budenholzer for shortening the rotation, giving, you know, over 40 minutes. These guys were cruising. If it hadn't been garbage time in the final few minutes, you know, like 45, 46 minutes played for each of these guys. But yeah, the big three was way bigger than the Nets' big three, which was obviously missing Kyrie. And James Harden, man, James Harden on a bum wheel. Is this a vision of Harden's future? Like, could he play till he's 45 where he's not sprinting, he's not running hard, and he's still, just through his sheer skill and craftiness, he's still a very effective player? I'm enjoying watching this injured version of James Harden.
Harden's game is the ultimate old man's game, where he just like sits there in place and just kind of tries to lull you to sleep, and then he hits you with a quick burst. He doesn't really have to get up and posterize guys anymore. He's just too skilled. His floater is too nice. You know, what's funny is, you know, both of these teams had horrible three-point shooting nights. Drew Holiday and PJ Tucker were 2 for 15 between the two of them. Brooke Lopez missed all 3 of his. Pat Connaughton went 0 for 5 from the field. Although I thought he actually had a pretty nice game. But Middleton went off. He was 5 for 8. Harden, 3 for 6 from deep. Those are the only guys that even had passable shooting nights, essentially. And it's just amazing how this game slowed down into a real kind of bloodbath game in the paint.
So all the Bucks players not named Chris Middleton were 5 for 33 outside of the paint. 5 for 33, 15% outside of the paint. No, you say those 3-point stats. My favorite 3-point stat for the Bucks in this game, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 0 for 0.
Magic.
0 3-point attempts for Giannis. Thank you, sir. Do not shoot the pull-up three. Do not do it. I love this. Giannis was pounding in the paint. When the Nets were going smaller, it felt like kind of the punctuation on this game was Giannis when he got that offensive rebound, almost stepped out of bounds, and then just dunked over Jeff Green because he was by far the biggest guy on the court. And it was Giannis becoming that screener, that roller, that offensive rebounder, that, I don't know what you want to call him, a point center. Him not creating in the half court and shooting these pull-ups, fadeaway jumpers. It was him attacking the basket and playing inside. And so kudos to you, Giannis. I mean, 30 and 17 is great.
Although we did have a few of those in crunch time, and that was incredibly frustrating, but thankfully they were able to kind of push away. But what did you think of how they did against KD? I thought they actually did they executed the game plan a lot better. They were doing a good job of, I liked how they were putting Giannis on James Harden, so that when Harden would then hand the ball off to KD, Giannis could switch up into KD's airspace and kind of frustrate him. And KD went 15 for 30. I guess there's two ways to look at that. One is he shot 50% from the field. The other is he missed 15 shots.
I think both teams actually played a pretty nice defensive game. To me, it resembled like the last pickup game of the day at the gym. I don't know if I was just reading into that I was thinking like, you know, maybe Durant's tired after all this. Maybe Harden's tired. Maybe the Bucks are just tense. But because of that, it did feel like there were a lot of missed shots. And maybe because of everyone playing a lot of minutes, the benches weren't very involved, weren't very effective, that there was a little bit more pressure on the guys. And possibly that was just the defense. The defense was good, and they weren't getting the easy good looks. But again, maybe it was imagining that Harden's in pain and I'm worrying about him re-aggravating a hamstring. And I do like how he's playing a little more slower. And then Durant, you know, he's making a bunch of contested shots, but he's also having to shoot tough ones. Neither one of those guys got to the foul line, Harden and Durant. Weirdly, they were a combined 3 for 7 on free throw attempts. So something about it felt like maybe the last game of the day where maybe they shouldn't keep playing, but everyone's like, yeah, let's run it back. And it was a tad ragged, you know, but I guess I can't complain too much because it was very entertaining.
A tad ragged. I like that.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominant Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, so on Friday night, we have two elimination games, game sixes, where the one seed is on the brink, on the road against the underdog. Let's start with Philadelphia, Atlanta. I assume Joel Embiid is going to have like 30 free throws in this game and he's going to go absolute Super Saiyan, or they're going to kind of like whimper out.
Yeah, I have no idea what to expect in this game. I know the Atlanta crowd is going to be raucous, but this series has been so surprising the way the last two games have gone, with the Sixers dominating in the first halves and then these massive comebacks and the game five comeback from the Hawks, or the collapse from the Sixers. I don't know mentally what that takes out of you as a basketball team. That was one of the more crushing defeats I remember ever watching. And like, will the Sixers rise to the occasion with their backs against the wall? I think most people feel like they're the more talented team. You think, you know, Embiid can dominate. You hope Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons can maybe do a little bit better than they did last game. But we've also seen this team last year without Ben Simmons. Tobias Harris had a terrible playoff series when they got swept. Ben Simmons, I mean, there's a mental thing going on with him. He's shooting 32% on free throws this entire postseason. And like, can Doc Rivers rally this team? And Doc Rivers has his own history of some recent playoff failures, where it's going to be interesting to watch. And I don't know what Sixers team is going to show up.
Do you ever know what Sixers team is going to show up? I feel like they're so Jekyll and Hyde for such an elite team, more so than the other top tier teams. I mean, at least with Brooklyn losing this game, you kind of like saw what Brooklyn was doing. It was just that it wasn't Brooklyn's night, shots weren't falling, they weren't getting the calls, but they were still kind of their core identity as much as left over, while Philadelphia just goes through these fits of vanishing, which, sad to say, is kind of a trait of Doc Rivers' teams that's kind of connected throughout his entire history as coaching.
Yeah, there are numerous blown leads on Doc Rivers' resume that his teams have done, and specifically in the last two seasons, there's been, I think, six individual instances of his teams losing at least 16-point leads in the playoffs for the past two seasons. That is a lot. You know, I don't know. Is it Ben Simmons who seems to disappear at the end of games? He just kind of stands there. He doesn't do anything. He no longer attacks. Joel Embiid, where he's attacking in the first halves, I don't know if he wears down. We know Embiid is banged up. He's injured. He's playing through the injury. They do miss Danny Green, but it's different. Like you said, it's different than the Nets. I mean, the Nets, obviously, they're shorthanded. Durant is doing what he can. This man is a year removed, basically, a little more from the Achilles injury. But like, Harden is clearly compromised. The Sixers are essentially, you know, full strength. And you assume that Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons could do some things. And like, they're not getting the bench production. It's like, maybe it's there hasn't been enough of an established routine of like, which guy we're going to go to. Is it Shake Milton's night? Is it Tyrese Maxey's night? You know, Furkan Korkmaz in the starting lineup, like maybe none of those guys are really coming through. Maybe the moment is too big. I mean, I got to think the Sixers are not going to go out in a whimper in this game six, but on the road, that's going to be tough. And the Hawks have to realize this is our opportunity. This is our moment. Obviously don't want to go back to Philadelphia for that game seven.
Well, in the Weiss household, it's always Shake Milton night, but that doesn't count. Unfortunately, Jazz, they have to keep their season going against the Clippers. No Kawhi Leonard. It didn't matter in last game. Was that Ewing theory in play, and the Jazz are going to come back and win this, or are the Clippers going to close it out?
You know, I feel like the Clippers, it's leaning towards they could close it out. They took, I feel like, the Jazz's best punch last game. The Jazz came out and made 17 three-pointers in the first half, and the Clippers were totally unfazed by that. Paul George stepped up to the occasion, and now on the Jazz, it's, you know, can Mike Conley come back and save them? He's questionable for this game. But now Donovan Mitchell is also questionable for this game. If Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley don't play, I don't feel like the Jazz have a chance. But maybe that's the trap of this entire playoffs, where it's just been zig and zag, and we don't know what is actually going to happen on a night-to-night basis.
No, the fewer players you have, the better you get.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Oh yeah, also Rick Carlisle quit.
Why would you want to coach Luka Doncic? Nothing weird about that.
I guess not. Well, blame Tim Cato and Sam Amick for that one. So if you wanted to read about all the crazy stuff they reported in the last 48 or 72 hours, go subscribe at theathletic.com/ding. Of course, you can find all my coverage of the Celtics and the NBA there. You get to hear Keith on this show. You get to hear the rest of our great shows like The Athletic, NBA Podcast, No Dunks, House Strauss, and all of our other team-specific shows. We will be back on Monday, and it looks like we'll probably have some Game 7s to talk about, or we'll at least have some new series to talk about. Keith, take us home.
Ding, ding.